Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here's a question for you today. What's the greatest burden of your heart right now? In fact, you can even text me. I would love to know. 877-933-2484. What's the greatest burden of your heart? Is it the coronavirus? Maybe it's your prodigal, your marriage, your finances, your health. Well, whatever you're burdened with today, know this. We serve Emmanuel. We serve God with us. He's a very present help in times of trouble. He cares about every detail of your life. And though he sometimes seems slow to intervene, he's always on time and he's always faithful. It is impossible for him to fail you. So given that, we've got a really encouraging show for you today. My dear friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, join me in studio. We're going to take a look at a story from the Old Testament that we might remember afresh how deeply invested and involved God is with our lives. We're going to get them on in just a moment. Quick announcement. For those of you who live in the Twin Cities area, my friend and colleague Bill Arnold is hosting a live studio audience event Thursday, March 26th with his friend Dr. Jim Bilby and Dr. Peter Kapsner. Tickets are free, but seating is limited. You can find more info on the web at myfaithradio.com. Well, today we're talking about faith and hope and about the divine ways that God intervenes in our lives. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he's still the God of miracles. And we need to celebrate the small victories and the big ones, right? Well, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on this show. Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas are founders and lead pastors of Substance Church in Minneapolis. Peter's author of several books. Together, Peter and Carolyn speak to leaders and church planners all over the world. They have three children and make their home in the Minneapolis area. And I love these two. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. We love you.
Appreciate you both more than I can even express. And you've been on plenty of times, enough to know that I love to start out talking scripture. And I really like this segment of the show because it's sort of standalone, sometimes apart from the content even. It just shows the living, breathing power of God's Word. And when we're in it on a regular basis, those streams of living water flow right through us. So, yes, I love it. So, and I know you're both, you love God's Word. So, Carolyn, we'll start with you.
Perfect. Okay, so I've been reading in 2 Chronicles 14, and it's a really cool story where David had just become king. And so what happens? The Philistines come to attack him. And I love that he did what was natural. He and his men marched to meet them. But then, even though it was obvious that he would go to battle, David stopped and asked the Lord if they should fight. And then he asked what the outcome would be, which I just thought, that's kind of fun that he would actually be that detailed with his prayer. And the Lord said to David, go ahead. And then when they did win the battle, I love that David exclaimed, God did it. Hmm. And then he actually said, he used me to burst through. Okay, so that's the first part of the story. But then I think this is profound because a little later, the Philistines came again and attacked the same place where they had victory. So often we experience victory in our lives, and all of a sudden we get attacked in the same area, the same place. But I love that David didn't presume. He asked the Lord, like, should we go and fight? And this time the Lord said, yes, but I want you to do it differently. And gave a very different strategy. He said, don't go straight on like you did before. Circle around the poplar trees. And when you hear this very specific sound, it's a signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. And so when I read that, I just thought, man, I'm just inspired. I'm encouraged that God has specific strategies for each situation that we're in. He bursts through. He's moving ahead of us. But that for every conversation we have today, every meeting, every decision, the Lord wants to give us wisdom, counsel, and a unique strategy and to navigate that will ultimately lead to his glory. And I just think, you know, we know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I think so often with the situations that we're faced in our families, in our work, in our life, we want to lean on our own understanding, and we want to do what we did before, what worked in the past. And I just love that David did not presume that or assume that about God, but was very specific. Should I? And what's going to be the outcome? And then God gave a strategy. So again, that encourages me, like God has a strategy for us.
Oh, my word. Can I get an amen? I need amen. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. Text me an amen. That's amen worthy. And Pastor Peter, before we get to you, just in the interest of full disclosure, I see some texts coming in of burdens. I just want to be honest with you. That is a word for me, Carolyn. And, you know, I'm battling right now. I'm in about a two-week surge of inflammation, and I've been diagnosed with something called chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And I've never accepted it because I'm like, I don't have a chronic issue. I'm super healthy, on my way to healing. And I think like that, and it serves me really well until I get blindsided by the chronicity of it. Mm. And then I'm always shocked, like Charlie Brown's football, like, this happened again? Yep. But you know, you two are coming in. You know, Peter, you deal with health things, and your spirit is in such a good place. And you coming in and sharing what you shared before this show, and you sharing what you shared right now. I love that David said, okay, first of all, you know, I'm going to listen to God on a new strategy. But he had an expectancy that God is going to come through. Just as I'm saying, full disclosure, I came in studio discouraged today because I'm so tired of this physical battle. Yeah. And I love that there's mercy for that. But we can't stay there. We got to rise back up. And I'm, you know, I'm going to seek God. Is there some, you know, because he attacks you in the place. I've had great victories here. I'm getting hit again, but there's a new strategy. And yes. You guys have already kicked my rear end, and I love you for that. Love you for that. So how about you, Pastor?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, so I'm trusting God for healing too. And there's been moments where I do have victory, and then there's moments where all of a sudden I am reminded once again, I need God. And actually, that's a great place to be in. And because it's not even about, I've noticed in my life, the biggest difference maker is not even me being fully healed, but it is me being fully on the path to healing.
Amen.
And allowing God to just drag me along. And I really believe that there's a lot of people out there. We just saw a young person, stage 4 cancer, that got healed in our church, just supernaturally. Nobody knows how, and we know how because we prayed for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know why God just instantaneously removes some people's issues. But in my life, I believe that God has a different strategy. He's ingeniously thwarting it.
And I think so with mine as well.
Which... You know what? At the end of the day, it's not up to me to choose how God wants to shine his glory through my life. But I do know that his plan for me is good. And it leads to the Bible verse that David prayed, Psalm 119:18. He said, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law, in the Bible. Mm. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things. He wouldn't pray to open his eyes if it wasn't easy for our spiritual eyes to get closed. And I think that in moments of discouragement, which for me means waking up any day, you know, I need encouragement. We can be surrounded by wonderful things and still we won't see them. And that's why we pray for them. That's why the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, the moment, ever since I heard about you guys, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We need enlightenment. We need encouragement. We need one another to speak the truth, to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And actually, for many of you listeners, you're listening to this because you know you need it.
Yeah.
And so right now, I just, my hope and my prayer is that God would tip you into hope.
Amen.
And that whatever little shred of faith that you have on the inside of you, God is going to multiply that and change things. And for all of us just to stop and say, our current problems are temporary, and if we knew what God had planned, none of it would matter to us.
Amen. Come on, somebody. I need more amens, friends. I'm telling you. We're going to break early just because I want to give Carolyn a chance to set the story up on the other side. But I want you to know, Peter, one of his books is one of my favorites of yours, is Broken Escalators. And it is an amazing book. To me, it's laugh out loud funny, filled with so much content about becoming promotable, about you being the person God wants you to be so he can entrust you what he wants to give you. Do you want to add to that before we go to break?
Well, really, it's a book on the study of happiness.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
And only about 10% of happiness, according to research, is actually circumstantial, okay? So that means your bank account, your looks, your house, your car, marital status, or whether or not you live under a palm tree. If you add up all of those things, they only affect your happiness by a grand total of 10%. Hmm. So then it begs the question, well, what accounts for the other 90%? Well, that's what the book is about. It's all about the 10 myths of promotion and happiness that we all for some weird reason, believe, but that God is trying to thwart in our lives so that we can get back into the real truth, which is my soul finds rest in God
alone.
Come
on, somebody. So we've got 8 copies to give away. 8 copies. I see some amens coming in. I love our listeners. You just make me smile. Thank you so much for that. We've got an engaged audience. These are the best people ever. So we've got 8 copies to give away. Broken Escalators. You are going to love this book. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Carolyn, I'd love for you to set up the story from 2 Kings chapter 4, because we're going to talk about the God who performs miracles, and he still does so today. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. I have in studio my dear friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. They're founders of Substance Church in the Twin Cities area. 3 campus locations right now. Is that right? That's just amazing. Congratulations on your latest. So we're talking about the God who intervenes, the God who cares, the God of miracles. And Pastor Carolyn, you recently gave a message on 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to delve into that story and have you both just interject as we walk our way through. I want you to know we have 8 copies of Pastor Peter's book, Broken Escalators. To me, it's just laugh out loud funny, filled with deep and rich content. And text the word book if you want in on that drawing, 877-933-2484. So go ahead, give us a synopsis of the story.
Okay, well, what I love about this story is we get to see a woman who's actually hit with her worst tragedy. So her husband, who's godly, which, you know, like, man, he's like in the prophetic crowd. He's a leader in the church, if you will. And he dies. And not only does he die, so that's traumatic, but they've got 2 sons and they've got debt. And so all of a sudden the creditors come. She's going to lose her sons to become slaves to pay for her debt. So not only is she lost her husband, she's losing everything, right? And so I love that she doesn't just accept that reality, but she goes to the man of God, and who's Elisha, and she's like, she kind of, hey, this is my situation. And I love that he says, hey, what can I do to help you? He doesn't even assume he has a solution. He's like, how can I help you? And then he asks her this really interesting question. He says, what do you have in your house? And as she looks, her answer is nothing. I've got nothing in my house. And I'm sure she's thinking, hey, if I actually had something in my house, I would have done something. I'm coming to you because I have nothing. And then all of a sudden she has this memory. She's like, wait, I have a little bit of oil. I just have a little bit of oil, you know. And so he says, okay, great. I want you to go to your friends and neighbors, and I want you to borrow as many jars as possible. And he doesn't even tell her why. He just says, do it. And then ultimately, once she gets the jars, he takes the oil and he has her pour it into the jars. And then as many jars as there are, the oil kept multiplying until every jar was filled. And when she ran out of jars, the miracle stopped. The oil stopped flowing. And at that point, she still didn't know what the point of this was. And then he said, okay, now I want you to sell the oil and pay off all your debts. And so what's interesting is that, honestly, God supernaturally really brought income into her life, but he did it through a really unique way.
Man, anything else you want to add to that, Peter, before we step forward?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's a miracle story of provision, but it was all the weird steps. I think it begs the question, why? Why did the prophet have her get these jars? Why did the miracle stop to the level of her jars? Why did, there's all these questions that the text kind of begs us to ask about the miraculous. But I think we can stop right there and just say, does God care about the practical things in our lives? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if you're out there and you're just in need of provision, the question is not, does God want to bless you? The question is, what is his chosen method?
Wow.
And that's something that we can unpack today.
Oh, very good. You also say that God often requires acts of faith before the miracles come. And you ever even reference in your message other examples from Scripture.
So I think about, you know, if you remember the Bible story where Peter needed to pay his taxes. And so Jesus says something really interesting to Peter. He says, I want you to go fishing. And when you go fishing, you're going to open up this fish's mouth and you're going to find a coin and you're going to pay for my taxes and yours. I think it's profound that Peter was a professional fisherman before he started following Jesus. It was his career. It's what he did every day. And he had never found a coin ever to pay his taxes in the mouth of a fish. And I just think, again, if it's the coin, let's just be honest, it magically or miraculously appeared in the fish, which means it could have appeared out of air into anything. Like, Peter didn't have to go fishing, but for some reason God asked him to go fishing. And I think it's interesting that Jesus asked Peter to go what was familiar to him and what was natural to him, which was fishing, but then God added the supernatural and the miraculous. And I think it goes back to the widow. What do you have in your home? She said, her first response, I have nothing. I have no provision. And yet, what was it? It was the oil, the little bit of oil. There was nothing magical about the oil. It wasn't a magical lamp. You know what I mean? It wasn't a genie in a bottle of oil. It was just, it was what she had. And I think so often, God wants to just, we think what we have, our skills, our resources, what's natural to us is insignificant. And yet God wants to add the supernatural to our natural.
Amen. I was going to say, and we often equate insignificant with nothing. Because you think about the 5,000 and what do you have? Nothing, you know, but we have a loaf, you know, we have a boy's lunch. And I wonder how often we really position ourselves out of a miracle because we're equating insignificant with nothing. But didn't Jesus say a seed of faith is all you need?
Well, think about the seed. It can grow into something huge. And I'll never forget, I was back when we were trying to get a location for our church in downtown Minneapolis, and it just seemed impossible to get any building. I mean, cost per acreage could easily be $1 million an acre. I mean, it just, to build a church for our congregation felt impossible. And yet, all of a sudden, I hear this story from one of our good friends, Philip and Holly Wagner in Los Angeles. The Lord worked a miracle for them to get a building. And I'll never forget in that moment, I felt like the Lord was like, Peter, you can't expect a miracle if you're not willing to sow a seed. And so I felt like the Lord actually spoke to me just to write a big check to our friends to pay for their building. And at first, it felt counterintuitive because I was like, but God, I need this
building.
I know. I mean, like, that's the whole point.
They have,
like,
their building.
Right. And yet the Lord was like, well, you can't expect a harvest if you're not sowing seed. Mm. And so it was like, the act of obedience in my case was write a check to them for a significant amount, and that's the kind of seed you are going to reap. And sure enough, so we ended up writing the check. It was really, I cried over it a little bit. I second guessed it about 8 times, and then I did it. And you know what was amazing is when God gave us our downtown building, a miracle. I mean, a building that could easily cost $40 million, and we got it in cash for $2 million. I mean, I'm just telling you, there's something powerful about taking that step of faith. But a lot of people are just afraid because, again, what good is this going to do? Is that really, listen, you give God a little bit of faith, he can do a whole lot of miracle.
Well, and so often we want God to perform a miracle for us the way we want it. I mean, the issue with Naaman in the Old Testament, which is also in 2 Kings, is that he wanted the man of God to wave his hand over him, and he was offended that he got the assistant, first of all. And then when the assistant said, go dunk in the Jordan River 7 times, it was so offensive to him. And if it wasn't for Naaman having friends that were with him, it was his friends that said, hey, just try it. Like, you know, that's actually how he got healed. And so, but again, it's this dumb act of faith, this weird, inconvenient act of obedience, dunk in a river to get your healing, you know. Or I think of Luke 17, the lepers. There was 10 of them. They wanted to be healed. And Jesus gave him the weirdest advice. Go show yourselves to the priest, and as you go, you'll be healed. And what didn't make sense is that was actually, like, disobedient in the sense of, like, they weren't supposed to see the priest until they were healed. And yet Jesus is saying, no, I want you to go as if you're healed. And as you go, you will be healed. Hmm. That's inconvenient and awkward.
Wow. Amen. Do you have any other examples from your own life? Because you said one of your points out of this message is that miracles are often preceded by inconvenient acts of obedience. Well, the big check, I'm sure, was not convenient. And I know you guys are living stories. I mean, they really ought to do a movie about your life. There's so many. Really, such amazing. But is there any that come to mind where it was like you had your eye on the prize, so to speak, and God was saying, do this over here first? And
well, gosh, it feels like every week we have another story like that. When we were trusting God for our Northtown campus in the northern Twin Cities, there was this building that every time we tried to go for it, it would fall through. And I felt like the Lord was like, Peter, just be faithful. Don't allow discouragement to set in. But you have to understand, the deal had fallen apart like 4 or 5 times. And there's a point at which you just get discouraged. You're out there and you're trying to resurrect your marriage, and now this is the fourth or fifth time it just feels lackluster. Or you're trying to, you know, get your heart back into your job that you don't like, and it's just not going well. I think that there's always these moments when discouragement can set in. And the Lord just said, hey, don't grow weary. It's like Jesus said. He taught his disciples a parable to teach them they should always pray, never give up, Luke 18:1. Well, amen. I finally was like, okay, God, if you want to do this building, you can do it. And I'll never forget, I showed up at a prayer meeting that I didn't even want to go to, by the way. And I was at this prayer meeting, and the Lord was just like, keep trusting me for this building in Spring Lake Park, Minnesota, right? That was the name of the city. And a woman came up to me randomly who I'd never met, didn't know, and she said, sir, can I just share something with you? Every time I look at you, God shows me this image of a lake with springs flying out of it. And I see that God said to me, he's giving you a lake with springs.
Oh, my goodness.
And these springs were just living water shooting out, causing campuses to go all over the place.
Oh, my word.
And missionaries to be sent and pastors to be sent. I don't even know why I get this image, but I just felt like I needed to submit it to you.
Wow.
And I literally looked at her. I'm like, who are you?
Wow.
Because I had just... was about ready to give up. And I think that God just needs us sometimes just to pick ourselves up and said, God, I'm willing to trust you one more day, one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives us these revelations. And sure enough, a couple months later, we get another $20 million building for what? $2 million. I feel like God just has these gorgeous treasures waiting for us at the end of a journey of perseverance. And if we would just stick with them long enough and not quit, whatever that is for those of you listening, don't quit. Don't quit trusting in God, and you're going to see miracles in your day.
But can I say part of it is because we would get the glory? We would get the credit. Because if it was in our timeline, we'd be like, I was a good leader. I made it happen. And I think even back to the first Bible scripture we had this morning, David couldn't get the credit for the victory. The Lord burst through. The Lord
That's
gave
right.
a different strategy. So it wasn't the strategy he was comfortable with. It was a really awkward strategy. But then God gets the credit. And God wants to get the credit for what we're walking through.
That's so good. And I feel like what you're building, I know you would say this as well, but you're building so representative. Present a move of God on the earth among millennials. Well, in a day when so many millennials are exiting, you know, their faith, there are many running through your doors because God's given you a unique platform to reach them. And so I just think that's just, you know, also speaks to the dreams and the miracles that God puts in our hearts are always bigger than we are. And as you're contending and fighting the battle, God's writing a much bigger story. One of the story that popped up for me as you guys are talking is Peter, when Jesus says, let your nets out on the other side of the boat. And he's like, we've been here all night, but if you say so.
Yes.
And maybe you're in that place. You're like, I've tried that. I've done that. And I think when you put a period at the end of a sentence that God's still writing, you're shutting down the process, a miracle that might very well be in process. So I'm talking to my friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. We've got 8 copies of Peter's excellent book, Broken Escalators. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We're going to continue to look at this amazing story in the Old Testament when we return. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. I've got my good friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. They're founders of Substance Church in the Twin Cities in studio. And we're looking at a passage from 2 Kings 4. Pastor Peter, I wonder if you just, for those who maybe just hopped on the air, joined us right now, give us a little bit of a synopsis of 2 Kings 4, the story we're talking about. And then I want you to delve into the point. We're walking through points from a message you guys recently gave that most miracles demand vulnerability. So take it.
Yeah, she's a widow who just lost her husband. She's facing bankruptcy. Her sons were about to be taken into slavery. I mean, losing it all. And the prophet of God says, go to your neighbors, borrow as many jars as you can. And when she did that, God filled all of those jars with a very expensive oil basically supernaturally caused this widow to win the lottery. But she had to obey the prophet of God by getting as many jars as she wanted to borrow. Okay, so in other words, God basically put her into an awkward position where she needs to go to her friends and she needs to say, "Can I borrow a jar?" And I guarantee you, every one of those friends was asking her, "How are you doing since your husband died? Right. How are you doing now that you're facing bankruptcy?" I mean, she had to basically admit to a huge amount of people, which, let's be honest, when we're down and out, the last thing we want to do, I know a lot of people that don't like to go to church when they're feeling down and out because they don't want to even tell people they're down
that's
and
true.
Out. You know, sometimes you feel like you're a downer on everyone, but, you know, or even people struggling with temptation, you don't want to tell people, I ate too many snack cakes last night. You know what I'm saying? Because you just feel dumb at being vulnerable with people. And yet, the Bible teaches time and time and time again that miracles are preceded by vulnerability, and that vulnerability is a form of faith. And if we're willing to get in the lives of other Christians and be vulnerable with them, like James 5:16 teaches, confess your sin and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Healing is preceded by vulnerability. And a lot of us, we want miracles, we want healing, but we don't want to take the step of vulnerability. We don't want to confess our sin. We don't want to ask for help. We just want to kind of muscle it through, pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, because again, we just, being vulnerable is a tough position to be in. Sometimes it's humiliating. And yet, that's actually how God works. And the more that we can embrace the humility and vulnerability, really humiliation, if I could put it that way, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And yet, you know, for many of us, we're just not good at asking for help. And I got to be honest, I'm one of those guys.
Well, we tend to isolate. And I chuckled at first because where I thought you were going to go, I'm trying to imagine this dear woman explaining, "Can I borrow a jar?" And with women, it would be like, "Well, what do you need that?"
Right.
"Well, there's this prophet in my house. I'm not actually sure what, but he just told me, so here I am." I mean, trying to explain that again and again and again.
No outcome.
It would make no outcome. It would make you, you know, going, how many of these is enough?
Oh, right?
And we don't know her personality, but if she was introverted, she'd be really dying.
Hello, I'd be like, she's good.
I don't know my neighbors. I don't go door to door. Like, the idea of borrowing jars from my neighbors is horrifying.
It's me too, all the way.
Kill me now. But I'll be honest, as a pastor, I see so many people struggling alone, struggling quietly, couples who have a miscarriage and they tell no one. I see couples who struggle with infertility and they tell no one. They keep it to themselves. Depression, abuse, struggle alone, marriage struggles, financial addictions, eating disorders, sexual addictions. Like, we get so caught in these traps of shame and perfectionism that we think we're supposed to pull ourselves together. But the whole point of the gospel is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. None of us are good enough. We need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ.
Indeed. I love this. You said this in your message. There is more to God than we have yet experienced or that we know. God has more for us, more healing, more peace, more freedom, more joy, more life. And as an introvert, too, it is easy to isolate. And yet, when you think about this again, there's more to God than we know, more than we've experienced, more peace, more freedom, more joy, more life. We want on our terms, you know, it's almost like the woman at the well, where it's like, give me some of this water, then I won't have to come here to haul water. It's like she thought maybe an easy way out, just have it delivered to my door, because then I can continue avoiding people and not get out of my issues, right? And Jesus is like, that's not at all what I'm talking about. So the idea of, we need to open up a little bit, and you even said, your miracle grows in proportion to your support network. That blew me away. So I want you both to speak to that. Your miracle grows in proportion to your support network.
Well, I think if the widow would have only gotten three jars or even one jar, that wouldn't have been enough oil that would have multiplied, and she actually wouldn't have gotten out of debt. And I think it's interesting that he didn't even say he didn't give her a quantity. He just said, go get jars. And then I find it interesting that the minute they ran out of jars, then the oil stopped. So it was very contingent on the quantity of jars. And so I would translate that to our current culture and day today and say, if you're here listening and you only have one Christian friend, it's going to be harder for you to walk through the hardships and trials of life. Mm. I mean, Jesus said in this world, you will have many trials, John 16:33. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. So we have hope in Jesus, but we are not meant to do life alone. We are not meant to do life isolated. And can I also tell you, your one Christian friend can't be your spouse. You know what I mean? Like, it's great if they are, but you need more. And so at Substance, we always talk about you need 4 to 7 godly Christian friends in your life. There's statistics and research behind it that you're doing life with, that are holding you accountable, that are praying with you.
Hmm. Want to add to that at all?
Well, actually, there was a study done in 2004 on Christians who have claimed to experience more miracles. And they wanted to find out what are the behavior differences between Christians that have lots of miracles in their lives, undeniable miracles, as they called them, firsthand encounters with God versus those that didn't. And the number one difference between people who experienced miracles and people who did not were people that experienced miracles had a large quantity of intimate Christian friends.
Wow.
They didn't just have one, and that one person wasn't their spouse. They had a large quantity. And so really, it just reinforces what the widow here experienced, that her miracle expanded in proportion to her support network. And what if, just by being vulnerable and asking more and more people for prayer. I mean, that's what the Apostle Paul actually believed when he said in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you in Corinth, the Corinthians, as you help us by your prayers.
Yeah, come on.
Wow.
Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
Wow.
Gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
Hmm.
You could repeat that statement about 10 times, and you'll suddenly grasp a miracle principle.
Wow.
Gracious favor granted in answer to the prayers of many. Some of us, we just need to chant that scripture out, 2 Corinthians 1:11, until we have enough guts to go to multiple people and say, would you pray for me? Boom. Gracious favor.
Man, love that. And you, in the message, you said, I believe the Lord's speaking to you right now. And I think he is speaking to you right now. So wherever you're at in this storm and you're waiting for God to break through, you obey when it doesn't suit you. You take action, even if it's inconvenient. You be vulnerable with other people. And I also like this, that you strengthen your friendships in this season. Again, don't isolate. And then don't get so busy that you think that you can strengthen a friendship without seeing people or talking with them. And that's to me like antibiotic, isn't it? It's like sure, not antibiotic, like vitamins,
yes.
Antioxidants, what I meant. Forgive me. But really, like shoring up your life, building up your immunities, your spiritual immunities, is surrounding yourself with people and strengthening the friendships. Wow. And you also explore three characteristics from this story that we'd be wise to embrace. And first one is humility. And you say the widow asked for help. She didn't struggle alone. She admitted she needed to know what to do in her situation. And you wrote this, and I just want you to hear this, friend. Resist the lies that you can get victory in your life alone. Resist the lies that say because you're a Christian, you shouldn't have trials. Resist the fear of what people will think of you. It's time to be real. God dispenses his grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. What might it look like to have the God of the universe resisting you? So say more about this whole idea of humility, and that is really a catalyst for miracles.
Yeah, I love that. I just think none of us like to think we have pride in our lives. And I think even that idea of what does it look like to have the God of the universe resisting you, might I add and say resisting you in that area. So many of us are here today and we're like, we've surrendered our finances to God. We've surrendered our sexuality to God, but we maybe haven't resisted our friendships or we haven't surrendered. You know, so I think there's all of us have an area in our life where we think I can do it. I don't need to be honest. I don't need to be vulnerable. I can figure it out on my own. And I'm just telling you, I've never seen a miracle happen with someone isolated by themselves. In fact, so let me give you an example. I'm passionate. For some reason, Peter and I, we never struggled with infertility and we never had a miscarriage. So I feel very blessed. And so because of that, I'm ridiculously passionate to pray for women to get pregnant and for couples to get pregnant. And so everywhere I go, I'm praying for women and couples. And I've had like 35 documented pregnancies of couples all over the United States, but most of them at Substance, who could not medically get pregnant and now have not just one child, but multiple children. And but all of them, It was because they came and asked for prayer. And then all of them, I said, hey, you need to get five people that you know, and you need to have them all set an alarm on their phones at 9 a.m. every day of the week. And you need to invite people in to pray with you together because this becomes a miracle. So one of my favorite stories is we had a small group, and this girl, just she really wanted to get pregnant. And I just need to, you need to hear this. She had one child already, and it was really hard for her to get pregnant with the first. She felt like she couldn't even ask God for a second child because it was like selfish. Like, I should just be thankful for the one I have, but I want more. And so it was fun for me to even just correct her theologically in a really loving way and say, listen, God wants to give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37:4. So let's delight ourselves in him. And so I said, thank you for letting us know. Let's pray. So we prayed, we prayed, we constantly prayed and would text her encouragements. And nothing was happening. And I'll never forget, actually, the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, it was very clear. It was not a matter of if she would get pregnant. It was a matter of when. So it was all about timing. So I texted that to her. I was so encouraged. And then we just kept praying. Still, months, months, nothing. And then I will never forget the day she came to our small group and she was pregnant, and we squealed with joy and we laughed, we cried, as you can imagine a group of women in a small group would do. But I'm thankful because this isn't just her miracle. This is my miracle. This is all of our miracles because she involved us not just in the waiting, but the delay, the journey, the exhaustion, the pain, the doctor's appointments. You know what I mean? She just all of it. We all walked through it together with her, which means we all got to experience the miraculous together.
Wow, I love that story. We're going to pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about these two other virtues that you talk about that really are recipe, you know, really positioning ourselves to see a move of God. So that first one is humility. Next is authenticity and teachability. And I forgot to ask you about your story of overcoming anxiety. If we have time, I'd really love for you to share that because, Carolyn, I hear from people a lot, and lots of folks are battling anxiety, especially right now. Talking to pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. They're founders of Substance Church. You can watch their sermons online if you'd like. But we're just looking at a passage from the Old Testament about when God performed a miracle for a grieving widow who was about to have to sell her sons because of poverty. And God met her in the most unique way. And he wants to meet you and bring provision for you. And it may be in a way that you're not even expecting. Hey, and we've got about 8 copies of Peter's book, Broken Escalators. You know, Peter says it's a study in happiness, and he's the author, so he gets to say. But I say it's also about really getting your heart prepared for the next place of promise God has for you. Because we think we want to strive for promotion. And in the essence, I think so much of that book is to be promotable, to find your joy in God, and then let him position you in a way he can use you in a great way. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484 if you want in on the drawing. And we will be back in a minute.
Every day, every breath, every moment I'm living, every beat of my heart, every morning I'm giving. I'm a soul, so grateful, so lost in wonder.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. I have in studio my precious friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. They're founders of Substance Church in the Twin Cities. And we've been looking at a story from 2 Kings chapter 4 about the widow who almost had to sell her sons because she was in such a place of poverty. And Elisha, the prophet, told her to go borrow as many jars as she could. And she didn't even know what for, what the outcome would be. God filled those with oil. She was able to sell those, pay off her debt, and he restored her family. Amazing story. We've been walking through some of the aspects of the story, and 3 characteristics in the story as far as just being kind of a recipe for a miracle, for the miraculous, for God to move. One was humility. The second one was authenticity. And Carolyn, you said the widow asked her friends and neighbors for help. And I love this. You said, identify a few godly people you can be real with. Ask them to pray with you, to help you make goals, to help you identify the lies. Be real with each other. Let this be a safe community where you can grow together. Take off the mask. Stop pretending. This is also tweetable. We're tweeting it. Get to know each other, serve each other, pray for each other, carry each other's burdens. We are on this journey to become more like Christ.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, and this is not stuff you just teach. You model this, Carolyn. Yeah. And so say a word if you would.
I'll never forget. So it was 2013, and I was in such a broken season as a woman, as a leader, I think in our season of the church. I think I literally cried for 3 months straight. Like, I just, so God was just doing a deep work in me. And And so I went to a prayer meeting with friends, and I just, it was like being real and just saying, I need you to pray for me. And so what's crazy is, let me just back it up by saying, I've been a pastor for 24 years. I think it's safe to say all humans deal with some form of anxiety. Like, there's just a normalcy to anxiety, but then there's intense versions of anxiety. So, I mean, I think it's kind of a word we use flippantly, and there's different levels of it. So about 15 years ago, I started experiencing more severe anxiety, started having my first panic attacks. I didn't even know what that was. So my physical body is reacting to what's going on in my circumstances. And so, like what you would normally do as a pastor and as a leader, you know, what did I do? I went to the Lord and I asked him for help, and I memorized every scripture I could on anxiety. And I met with professional counselors who were amazing and helped me. And I even did prayer therapy. So, I mean, I did it all. You know, like, I read Henry Cloud books so I could find out where I'm dysfunctional. And it was so good. I had so many dysfunctions. And just reading his books, like, healed me. And it was so good. I would worship the Lord and read my Bible. You know, so not in the, and I say these things not to say I was striving or I was performing or I was trying to earn health or healing or wholeness, but I was doing what I knew to do.
That's right.
What scripture says to do, the tools that God has given me to get peace in my life. And we know Jesus said, peace is a gift that he gives, peace of heart, peace mm-hmm. of mind.
And to seek peace and pursue it,
yes,
which is what you were doing.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then 6 years ago, I'm in this prayer meeting. So I've always done that. That's like been my maintenance routine, if you will, for anxiety. And I'm in this prayer meeting, and this woman, with some friends, but then there was a girl who didn't know me as well. And the Lord gave her a word for me. And I'm going to read to you because I journaled what she wrote. And this is what she said about me. She goes, Carolyn, you were made for fun, but you are not having any fun. And she goes, God wants to meet you and deal with the striving that's going on inside you. There are things that cannot even be articulated, but God sees what's going on inside you, and he wants to bring you to a place of deep rest, deep rest. And I remember after she prayed it, honestly, I didn't feel anything. There was nothing tangible. It was kind of like, oh, isn't that sweet? That was nice, you know? And I just remember I actually appreciated that, like, hey, whatever's going on inside of you, like, there's not even words for it. And I think, can I just acknowledge that's okay? Like, it's okay to not have a vocabulary for even what's going on inside of us sometimes. But God sees, mm-hmm. and he knows what's going on inside, and he wants to meet us.
I remember when she prayed that, and she said, you're not having fun. And I'm like, that is amen to that.
Well, and we actually laughed.
Who is fun,
like,
Carolyn?
Who is fun, Carolyn? We don't
Where'd
know this,
go?
Carolyn. Well, no, we've never known Carolyn
oh, really?
To be fun. I'm a pretty serious person. So anyway,
so
all that to say,
bring out fun, Carolyn.
We're still, no, just kidding.
Yeah. Still waiting on
stop.
Fun, Carolyn.
No, but here's the fun part of the story is 3 days later, I woke up. And I can't even tell you, it had to happen while I was sleeping. God must have done something while I was sleeping, causing rest. But something was different. And all I can tell you is I have, 6 years ago, in September 2013, I experienced a touch from God that is another level of peace I did not know was possible. Like, it is so ridiculous.
Praise
it's a
God.
Steadiness that, again, I'm telling you, as a Christian leader, as a pastor, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I was doing everything I knew biblically to walk in peace, and this is a whole nother level. And I think that's where I want to share my story and go, you may be walking in freedom, you may be walking in healing, but guess what? God has more. Mm-hmm. You may think this is the best it's going to get on this side of heaven, but guess what? God has more, and heaven is coming to earth, and the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and God wants to continue to reveal himself to you and to continue to give you another level of freedom, another level of peace, another level of wholeness.
And fun. Look at you. You're having
yeah,
so
she's
much
a blast.
Fun. I have to pray for serious Carolyn now. It's like the reverse problem.
Exactly. But you know what I like is, either so often leaders are trying to save face and they isolate, and that's to their demise every single time. And so I love that you were humble enough and authentic enough to, because we all have needs and we will have needs till we see Jesus. Okay, let's talk about this one. Teachability. The widow didn't balk at Elisha's instructions, and she didn't say that's not possible. And you wrote this, to be teachable is to be willing to relearn that which you think you already know. To be teachable is to be willing to relearn that which you think you already know. Willing to trust the Lord with his instructions, even if you don't know the outcome, and willing to listen to the input of others. I think that's brilliant. So what do you say?
Well, look at all these biblical miracles that required actions that were very counterintuitive. And I wonder how many times we miss the miracles of God because we think in our heads, that
won't do anything.
And I get it. We've all been there, and somebody, you know, like you and I, Susie, who have big ailments, we've all had a million people come to us with whatever new oil they have.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, and again, that can actually help people. But I think we've all been there and gotten cynical. And yet I have to try to open up my heart and not be cynical, because a lot of times the conduit of the miracle is counterintuitive.
Yeah.
And I've noticed there's actually there's four things that I've noticed decrease my open-mindedness to the solution of God. And they all start with P. And this is going to sound kind of funny because I'm not a big, you know, alliteration guy, but it's pace, pain, pride, or planning. Pace will decrease your teachability. If my wife critiques my sermon on Saturday night, I won't be very much open to her, right, Sunday. But if she critiques it the week in advance, I'm way more open. It's the I don't have the pace to really apply her wisdom. Pain, if I've been wounded by somebody at some point in my life and somebody tries to give me a solution that reminds me of that pain, that triggers me, I'm not going to be open to that person or that solution. I've tried working out. I've tried eating healthy. Or pride, it's just not willing to go to your neighbor and ask for help. Or planning, a lot of times it's just, hey, okay, let's actually get serious about change. If God was to show up in this way, what do I need to alter in my life? And getting other people to give us feedback, like a budget for some of us or a workout plan for others of us, those types of things. It's planning. And so, again, teachability is not the ability to learn. It's the ability to relearn that which you already know. And I think that's something that we have to just stop and be willing to say, hey, maybe the solution I tried before is actually God's conduit, but it's going to be a little different in this way. And just be willing to say, God, I know you have a plan. All I have to do is be faithful to just be executing on something. Just exercise that faith. Because everything at the end of the day, you don't know when God's going to do the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in my life is usually happens slow, then sudden.
Amen.
And so for everyone to just realize it's okay to feel like you're in the slow season, but I guarantee you somewhere along the way, boom, sudden will come upon you and you're going to look at your life and say, I did not know it could be this good.
I love that, slow then sudden, because that really is how it goes. What advice would you have for the person in the slow season? I suppose it would be this: stay humble, stay teachable, obey, stay faithful, right?
All of the above.
Yeah.
And I look at you, Carolyn, and you're fun, Carolyn. You know what I mean? Like, and it's supernatural, and I'm having fun, even though there are circumstances in my life that aren't perfect. But I think that's the way God works, is that God will just slow, then sudden. So if you're out there and you're just trudging along, I just want to encourage you. God does have that plan, and if you could see what he sees, you would have all the motivation in the world. And so once again, right back to David's prayer, open my eyes to see the wonderful things in your law.
And then the verse that you opened with, Carolyn, just about the idea that God had two different strategies to battle, and there's times where the enemy comes back around and attacks us in the place of victory. Why we need to stay so flexible, so open to the voice of God. And as I'm looking at the notes from this message, you know, the idea of shutting down, of putting a period at the end of the sentence, of not being teachable, all those things are in our control. As far as there's outcomes that are not in our control, but our attitude and our submission before God is something we can do. We just got about 40 seconds. I want to just ask you, what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5-10 years ago?
Oh, he's the most amazing Father, Heavenly Father. I think God's revealed himself to me to be the most amazing Heavenly Father and just honestly a God of peace.
Love that. How about you?
He's more faithful than you feel. And I know that today it's easy to just get lost in our emotions. But listen, like Paul said, Galatians 3:5, does God work miracles among you because of what you do or because you believe? It's not about your behavior. It's about his generosity.
Wow.
And he just wants to target some of us today, as long as we just open up our hearts and say, God, I'm open.
Yeah, I'll do anything. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. And someday I want to get you guys back, and we're going to do a whole show on miracles.
Mm.
You've got enough stories to fill an hour for sure. So would you come back and do that?
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. Love and appreciate you both so much.
You.
Check out Substance Online. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you found some encouragement here today. He's still the God of miracles, and he will and he wants to intervene in your life. We will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.